Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, our church's lectionary, our annual schedule of Bible readings for Sundays, is very relevant to what's going on around us in the world. Jesus' parable of the wedding banquet teaches a powerful lesson, for example, about the things that are going on in Israel today. But not only in Israel. It has a powerful lesson for everyone in this room. In His grace, God prepared a wedding banquet for His Son, and He invited the people of Israel to attend, but they didn't want to come. Now, He sends out invitations to all people. Who will come to the wedding, and who will be properly dressed for it so that they're allowed to stay? May the Holy Spirit open our hearts to understand and to heed His message. It's baptized believers in Christ who are the chosen people of God. Jesus told the parable of the wedding banquet during Holy Week, just days before He would be crucified. He was teaching some final lessons to the people in Jerusalem's temple. And included in those lessons were also some stern warnings, because He knew what the Jews were about to do to Him and why. So He tells the parable of the wedding banquet, where a certain man, a king, arranged a wedding banquet for his son. This is God the Father, who arranged from eternity to send His Son into human flesh to redeem fallen mankind by giving His Son as the perfect sacrifice for the world's sins. True God, true man, the perfect substitute for mankind, the perfect mediator between God and man, the perfect Savior who makes all who believe in Him heirs of eternal life, fit to live with God forever in the new heavens and the new earth after this earth is destroyed in judgment. Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God had been sending out invitations to celebrate the future arrival of His Son into the world. Get ready, He's coming. I'll tell you when He's here. But eventually, after practically all mankind had become corrupt and unbelieving, after all the nations went their own way before the flood and again after the flood and after the Tower of Babel, God focused on one nation in particular, on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants who became the people of Israel. And God cultivated them as His people and taught them and trained them and sent His prophets to them to give them His word, not only orally but also written down. They were the guests whom God invited beforehand, before He sent His Son into the world. And then finally, He sent His Son into the world. The Savior had been born. And the servants of the king, in this case, including shepherds of Bethlehem, Simeon and Anna, and the wise men, among others, were sent out to call the invited guests to the feast. The Christ is here. Jerusalem, this is your time, the time of your visitation. But few paid attention. Still, the king had it proclaimed again. Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. For 3 years or so, that message kept going out to the invited guests in Israel. The promised Savior stood among them and taught among them. John the Baptist, Jesus' disciples, Jesus himself kept on announcing that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. But, as the parable goes, they disregarded it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. That was how Israel as a whole reacted to the preaching of the gospel. John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded. Jesus was crucified. Stephen was stoned to death. James, the brother of John, was put to death by the sword. St. Paul himself was at one time responsible for persecuting the servants of the king, and then after his conversion, Paul and the other Christians were persecuted constantly by the Jews who refused to acknowledge Jesus as their Christ, to the point that in the book of Revelation, Jesus refers to the Jewish synagogue as a synagogue of Satan. And so, as the parable goes on, when the king heard about it, he was angry, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. The Father had given his greatest gift to Israel and had prepared them for it in advance, and Israel stubbornly rejected it. Not all of them, of course, but the nation as a whole. And so, as Jesus also predicted on another occasion, because Jerusalem was not willing to come to the banquet of God's salvation in Christ, Jerusalem was eventually burned up and destroyed by Roman armies. The previously invited guests missed their chance to come to the banquet. So please don't let anyone convince you that the modern city of Jerusalem belongs to any people by divine right. God had that city burned down long ago as the capital of his Old Testament people, Israel. And as far as their rejection of Christ goes, nothing has changed since that time. That doesn't justify the horrific atrocities being committed against those who seek peace. Atrocities which are being committed, by the way, by people who are just as Christless and lost as the unbelieving Jews are. But the punishments God sends against any nation are meant to serve not only as punishments, but also as calls to repentance, because for the Jews, for the Muslims, and for the American unbelievers too, it isn't too late yet to repent. It isn't too late to come to the wedding. What did the king do after ordering his servants to burn down the city of those who murdered and mistreated his servants? He said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the streets and invite to the wedding whomever you find." So those servants went out into the streets and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the banquet tables were filled with guests. God still desires that all people should be saved. He gave his Son into death for all sinners, that all should come to repentance, believe in Christ Jesus, and receive the forgiveness of all their sins. After Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, the same Lord Christ sent out his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel to all nations, to all creatures. No longer was his invitation sent out to Israel only, as it had essentially been in the Old Testament, but now his invitation goes out to every creature, to every ethnicity, to every person. Come to the wedding. That is, repent and believe in Jesus the Christ, who was sent for you, who was crucified and died in payment for your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Come into the holy Christian church that Jesus is still in the process of building. The call goes out to both Jews and non-Jews, to anyone and everyone, to the good and the bad, as Jesus said in his parable. Here is the forgiveness of sins. Here is life. Here is salvation. Here at the wedding. Here in Christ Jesus. The invitation has been going out for 2,000 some years and will continue to go out until the church, which is the new Israel, the spiritual Israel, is finished being built. The wedding hall, the Christian church, is filling up. It may not look that way in one church or another, but throughout the world and throughout the ages, it is filling up, and only God knows when it will be full. And then the last day will come, and Christ will return to take His beloved bride to Himself. But Jesus adds an important detail at the end of this parable that we shouldn't overlook. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man who was not wearing a wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and throw him into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What does this wedding garment represent? Why is it so important for all the guests to be wearing it? So important that if they're not wearing it, they don't get to stay at the banquet. They get tossed out into outer darkness. Well, remember, the king didn't require any good works of anyone in order for them to be invited to the feast. What is the thing he requires? St. Paul writes about it to the Galatians in chapter 3. "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." See how St. Paul ties together faith and baptism. You are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You put on Christ when you were baptized into Christ. You were clothed with the robe of Christ and His perfect righteousness through baptism, where God held it out to you. And through faith, where you, by God's power, put it on. But faith can't just be put on once and then you're automatically wearing faith for the rest of your life. Faith in Christ, trusting in Christ Jesus, is a continual thing. It has to be. Church membership without faith in Christ is worthless. Calling yourself a Christian without faith is dishonest. When the king comes in to inspect the guests, he will not ask you who your pastor was, or which church you or your family belonged to, or how many offerings you gave. He will look to see if you're still clinging to His beloved Son in faith. And where He doesn't find that, a person won't be allowed to stay. But God will provide everything you need to sustain your faith. Faith still comes by hearing. He'll keep sending out His ministers to preach His word and administer His sacraments. He'll keep calling you to repentance when you go astray, and He'll keep forgiving you your sins when you repent, because He wants you here in His wedding hall. He wants you to be among His chosen people, which is not the physical nation of Israel or any other, but the number of those who believe in Christ Jesus and thereby escape the condemnation that is coming on this wicked world. Many are called, Jesus said, but few are chosen. That's how Jesus summarizes the lesson in the parable of the wedding banquet. Many have heard the gospel invitation, and God sincerely wants the many who hear to believe and be saved. He wanted it for the Old Testament Jews. He wants it for all who hear. But the chosen people, the elect, are those who actually enter into His holy Christian church by holy baptism and who remain true members of the church by faith in Christ Jesus. That means that you who believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, are the chosen people of God. Now continue in that faith, wearing that robe of righteousness of Christ every day. And as those who are already wearing Christ by faith, do as St. Paul said to the Ephesian believers in today's epistle. Watch carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to reckless behavior, but be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things to our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.